Perek Yud Gimel in the Netzach Yisrael. In Perek Yud Beis, Perek Yud Aleph of the Netzach Yisrael, the Maral was speaking about Netzach Yisrael, about the eternity of Klal Yisrael, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very much bound up his presence in the world, his fate in the world, with that of the B'nai Yisrael. The name Yisrael includes in it the name of Hashem. And we talked about this idea, and that helped. Therefore, since this was Hashem's plan in the world, and his plan in the world revolved around this entity called the B'nai Yisrael, so therefore, he could not, so to speak, continue in the world imagining as if Klal Yisrael would not exist. Klal Yisrael wouldn't be there. What he's going to do here in Perek Yud Gimel, basically, is to some degree he's going to intensify the relationship of B'nai Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the other direction, what we would probably consider the more classic direction, which is our dependence on Hashem. And to say that Klal Yisrael, their entire existence, our entire existence, is completely, completely and totally given over and reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that the mala, what he calls it, she oid yaser mala min akaidem, even beyond that which was said before, was not just that Klal Yisrael somehow bound up their portion of Hashem Yisborach, but rather ke'en li Yisrael batzmum shum etzias v'shum avaya rak bo Yisborach. The Jewish people had no existence, no being, without HaKadosh Baruch, without HaKadosh Baruch. So he says, and we'll cover quickly the first things before we'll deal with the two major chazalim that the Maral is going to be using here to amplify this idea in this perek. He says, the alternative would be to say that Klal Yisrael are sort of their own being, their own entity, their own bria l'atzma, their own being for themselves. However, they have a significant connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Significantly, they stand as well as a portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, it's not the case. They're completely and totally bottled to Hashem. And he brings two illustrations of this principle, two illustrations which are not really completely separate from each other. One is the concept of Mesiras Nefesh, as it exists by Klal Yisrael, that a Jew is ready and instinctively ready to give up his life for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when you have a bond, a relationship with something, with somebody, but you have your own metzias, you have your own existence, it's much less likely for the person to be ready to just freely give up their life, because what they're doing is they're giving up the whole for the part. But if the relationship, if the connection to the person is the whole, so to speak, there's like an ein oid milvadai, there is nothing else without him, kind of a situation, so then the person's ready to give up everything. We would normally say, you know, achveis, a person who is sometimes driven to a desperate frame of mind because they've lost a relationship. You know, a person, lo aleinu, is beset by terrible grief. They lost a family member, lo aleinu, a spouse, a child, rachmana litzlan. And the person says, forget it. You know, life isn't worth living anymore. It happens, right? Person could be so beset by grief that everything goes. So what do we have to do? You have to be able, usually, I mean, you could tell the person an approach which says, you know, well, that person would want you, you know, to continue. You continue to feel and see that person within your life. You know, different ways of somehow continuing the relationship. But in a certain sense, what you really want to do is you want to tell the person, look, you know, that person was a very, very important part of your life. However, you still are here. You're still around. You still need to go on. And therefore, don't throw yourself away just because your connection with that person is gone. However, when it comes to Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the concept of Mesiras Nefesh is that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about it. There's nothing. There's a complete, he told us, there's a complete dependence that Klal Yisrael has on the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are, therefore, the complete olul, right? They're the completely dependent, completely, completely relying on Hashem. And the other expression of it, which is not fundamentally different, is the expression of Klal Yisrael, the angelic expression of Klal Yisrael of Nase Kaidem Lenishma, where they said we will do before they would hear, before they needed to hear what was going to be said. Because Nase Kaidem Lenishma means an absolutely unconditional acceptance. And if I am a being for myself, I always have to make sure that what you're asking me to do, what you expect of me to do, will fit with my agenda and with my needs, what I have to do, what I have to get done, what I have to accomplish. To just write you a blank check and say, oh, I'll do whatever it is that you say, there's no protecting myself whatsoever. And if Klal Yisrael was ready to be makdim nasa, to say we will do before hearing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means they were willing to give over the blank check to Hashem, because that was it. Their whole existence, they view. There was no holding back when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no personal, separate agenda when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the way the Maharal reads it. You know, there are others who read it. You know, you would find in Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos, in fact, right? It's actually one page over from the Gemara that we're going to learn today. It says Rashi, Samachnu alav shalei yitanenu bedavar shalainu chalamei boy. We relied on Hashem. When we said Nasa Kainim L'Nishma, we didn't ask questions first because we relied that Hashem wouldn't ask us something that was impossible, something that we wouldn't be able to do. We trusted Him. You know, sometimes you might give somebody a blank check. Literally, you might give somebody a blank check. Not because you don't care about your money, but because, you know, look, this guy, I'm asking him, he's going to go to the matzah pickup, and he's going to pay for me. I don't know exactly how much I owe. So, whether he's going to write the check for $200 million or $300 million, whatever matzahs cost this year, right? But it's still going to be within, you know, he's going to do what I need him to do, right? I trust him that he's going to take care of it. It's not that I'm saying, here, blank check, take away all my money, whatever you want. There's a risk when I give him a blank check that he could do that. But if I trust him, I'm not really worried about him doing it. So Rashi says, when we said Na'aseh v'nishma to Hashem, we trusted Hashem, that Hashem would give us mitzvahs that would be for us, you know, not only manageable, but positive. And therefore, it was a blank check, but we weren't giving over everything. The Maharal is using this other approach, which in many ways is much more classically seen in the Gemara. When the Gemara says that Na'aseh kaidem l'nishma was was the formula of the angels. And what's the trick with the angels? The angels have no personal agenda. The angels are, malach means messenger. They're just there to do Hashem's will. They're completely, completely dependent and part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's the classic formulation. That's what the Maharal is really going with. So he says, you see here, the Klal Yisrael does not hold back, does not separate any part of itself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So it's not just, you know, it's sort of a joint enterprise, and therefore, don't worry, you're going to be okay, he needs us, we need. It's an absolute and total connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's going to use two chazalin to illustrate this. Two different chazalin to illustrate this. I don't know if I should start with the first one, or I should start with the second one. Why wouldn't I want to start with the first one? I wouldn't want to start with the first one because the first one is a hard one. The first one is a hard one to the extent that I have a hard time understanding this piece. And so we'll share the issues. We'll share the problem, so to speak, the way it appears. The second one is much more understandable, much more explainable. So we're going to start with the first one. Start with the first one. We do in the state of the Maharal, we'll do what we can. This is again to illustrate this idea of the complete dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, Perek Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara which speaks about the Matan Torah, by and large, but the end of that Agadita. The Gemara brings the following from a pasuk in Yeshaya. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yosef. My dechsev. What does the pasuk mean when it says, "Ki ato avinu," for you are our father. Ki Avram lo yada'anu. Avram didn't know us. Yisrael lo yakirenu, and Yisrael did not recognize us. Yaakov. Ato Hashem avinu. You Hashem. You are our father. Ge'aleinu me'elam shemecha. You are redeemer. Our redeemer. Me'elam shemecha. Your name for all time. What does this pasuk mean? You are our father. Avram didn't know us. Yisrael didn't know us. You, Hashem, you are our father. Says the Gemara, Hashem's going to come to Avram and he's going to say, Avram, your children, right? He's going to have PTA meetings, right? He's going to say, Avram, you know, your children, they sin. Omar Lefanov, so he says to him, they should be erased for the sanctification of your name. To show you can't turn against Hashem, like, right? Not of Avil, Bikrevaya Kodesh, you know, it's a Kiddush Hashem. When punishment comes to those who step over the line. Omar, so he says, I don't like that answer. Emer Leili Yaakov, Dabalei Targidul Banim. Maybe Yaakov will not be so quick. Because Yaakov, after all, invested a lot in raising his children. So he would have a stronger connection, perhaps, to his children. Would not be so ready to wipe them off. Write them off. Answers the Gemara. Efshad Boi Rachmei Alai, maybe he'll daven for them. Omer Leili Banecha Chatu. So he came to Yaakov, he said, your children sinned. Said exactly the same words as Avraham Avinu. Let them be erased to sanctify your name. Omar, so he said, I can't find good reason with the old men, and I can't find good counsel from the young ones. Omar le Yitzchak, so he went to Yitzchak. Yitzchak wasn't too old, like Avram. He wasn't too young, like Yaakov. He said, your children sinned to me. Amr lefanav Rebbeinu shel Olam, Banai v'loy banecha, my children? They aren't your children? Banai v'loy banecha, you know, this is the classic disowning, right? Right? You come home and your wife says to you, your son made a real mess on the carpet. My son? My son? How about your son? You know, like, Banai v'loy banecha. What's going on over here? And we find this, you know, we see it very clearly by the Chet HaEgel, that's what happened, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says to him, Lech Reit Kishiches Amcha Asher Halesa Meiretz Mitzrayim. Right? Your people that you took out of Mitzrayim, they have corrupted. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, the other way around. He says, it's your people, right?
You mean we Kimosabi? No.
He says, "Right, lechrei kishiche zamcha asher." Halucha kishiche zamcha asher leisa miyas Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Hashem, and he says, "Lama Hashem yecharabcha be'amecha asher etz Yisrael. Why are you getting angry at your people that you took out of Mitzrayim?" And this goes to some degree, you know, back and forth. Don't disown them; they're not mine, as opposed to yours. They're yours; they're your people. So Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "They're my children; they're not your children." So first, that's number one, and look what he says to support it, mamish. When Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, you refer to them as my son, Bini B'chayri Yisrael. Achshav Banai V'loy Banecha, now they're my children and not yours. Now, of course, you know that Hashem referred to Klal Yisrael as Bini B'chayri Yisrael in Mitzrayim, before they said Nasa v'Nishma. But evidently this Gemara is saying that it's Al Shem Seifai, because they would be the ones who would worship. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was already told, you'll take them out of Mitzrayim, they'll serve me on this mountain. Their zchus to be taken out of Mitzrayim was because of the eventual Kabbalas HaTorah. So therefore, the ultimatum to Paray was Bnei B'chayri Yisrael based on Matan Torah. So you refer to them as your children, your firstborn children. So why are you disowning them now? Now you understand a little bit the moral, the richness of the moral's introduction. You know, what makes us so connected to Hashem, evidently, is Nasa v'Nishma. And furthermore, and here comes the fun part. Kama chatu, how much do they sin already? Kama shneisav shaladam shirim shana. A person, let's say, average lifespan, David HaMelech's statistics were 70 years. Dal esrin delay anshes halayu. The first 20 years, till a person is 20 years old, they're not subject to din shamayim, to heavenly punishment. So cut off 20 years. Pashlu chamshin, so you have 50 years left. Dal chafei deleilusa, 25 of those years are nighttime. What can you do at night already? Pashlu chafei, 25 left. Half of that time, 12 and a half years of that, is going to be davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. So all you have left is 12 and a half years. You can carry them all. You can forgive for 12 and a half years out of 70. I mean, what's the big deal? And if not, I'll take half, you'll take half. Okay? The first matching grant. And if you want to say, no, you got to carry them all yourself, but I gave myself to you. I gave myself to you at Akedas Yitzchak. Paschu v'amru, so Klal Yisrael said, see, Yitzchak saved the day. Ata avinu, you're our father. Yitzchak, you're acting like a father. Your mamash saving us. Amalam Yitzchak, so that's the first, you are our father. Avram didn't know us. Yaakov didn't save us, right? That's the pasuk. You, Yitzchak. Amar lehem Yitzchak. So Yitzchak said to him, Ad shetem mekalsem li, while you're praising me, kilsu laHaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, turn and praise Hashem. Umachvi leYitzchak haKadosh Baruch Hu beinayu. So Yitzchak pointed to haKadosh Baruch Hu. Miyad nasu einayim lamorim. They looked towards heavens. V'ayimim, and they say, Ato Hashem avinu. The second time, they didn't say, you are our father. They said, you Hashem are our father, our redeemer. So in other words, the first time they were saying Yitzchak, and then Yitzchak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then they change and they say, you Hashem are our father. Ge'alenu mi'elam shemecha. That's the Gemara. It's quite a Gemara. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the part which we clearly can take out of this Gemara, and then we'll talk a little bit about the problems, the challenges which this Gemara poses. What we can take out of this Gemara, whether Maral does take out of this Gemara is, and what's really, the Gemara really speaks for itself, is the tremendous identity of Yitzchak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak is the first one to take umbrage at the characterization of Klal Yisrael as his children, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. How can you separate them from that they're my children and they're not yours? Aren't they yours as well? And then he says, you know, I'm going to bear them. You're going to expect me to bear them by myself, right? Hakrivis nafshi kamach. But I gave myself over to you. I offered myself to you. So I can't really be separated. You know, Akedas Yitzchak was the original Mesiras Nefesh. Was the original demonstration of absolute hispatlus, of absolute self-negation before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Avram Avinu did a lot of acts of Mesiras Nefesh. He gave up his parents. He gave up Yishmael. He gave up Yitzchak. He was ready to give up Yitzchak. He gave up a whole lot, but he was still there to tell the tale. Yitzchak was Kaitens. He was giving up himself completely. He gave himself over in his voluntary submission to Akedas Yitzchak. He was giving himself over completely, totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Yitzchak is referred to as the Ayla Tamima. What does it mean, the Ayla Tamima? An Ayla is a burnt offering. There's nothing left. It goes up completely. I mean, the skin is left, but that's for itself, for a discussion. But the whole thing, every piece of meat, every piece of fat, everything goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak gave himself over completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's pictured. Where did he do this? Where did this happen? It happened on Har HaMoriah. Instead of Yitzchak, what went? A shofar. Right? The ram, right? The ram was stuck with its horns in the thicket. And that ram's horn becomes the paradigm for Matan Torah and Asa V'Nishma. Right? Even though it was on a different mountain. Right? This was on Har HaMoriah, and Matan Torah was on Har Sinai. But you know, from the davening of Rosh Hashanah, that when we get to the bracha of shofarais, the psukim which are cited repeatedly are about Har Sinai, because the shofar of Har Sinai was the shofar of Yitzchak. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, Ata Niglesa, the bracha starts, Ata Niglesa Banan Kvedecha Alar Kochecha Ladaber Imam, Alam Kochecha Ladaber Imam. You appeared on that mountain to the people, and with the shofar, with the sound of the shofar. Chazal tell us, right, the Tur brings it in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that each yontiv is corresponding to one of the avos. Pesach is Avram's yontiv. Where that was when he welcomed the guest. Yaakov is Sukkos. Yaakov made Lumikneu also Sukkos. Yitzchak is the Yantav of Shavuos. Shavuos is Yitzchak's Yantav. Why? Because the Shofar of Shavuos was the Shofar of the Akedah. The Shefer of Matan Torah was the Shefer of the Akedah, because it's the same as Siras Nefesh. Even to the extent that we know that Yitzchak, so to speak, died on Haram Eiriyah and Hashem brought him back to life, right? That was where the Brach Mechaya Mesim, and at Matan Torah it's the same thing, right? The Gemara says, Nafshi Yotza V'dabra Miti, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to us, our souls left us, and Hashem had to bring us back to life, right? Each time over there at Matan Torah. It's the same giving over. And that's what Yitzchak says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to call them my children and not yours? They said Naseh V'Nishma. They did what I did, right? So they're yours. And if you want to say, no, they're not mine, they're yours, right, Yitzchak? But I'll still get you, because I'm yours. And therefore you can't separate you from me. So whether you want to go and say, these children are the children of Yitzchak, and the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they said Naseh V'Nishma, that makes them children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you have to share it with me. But even if you say, no, they're only the children of Yitzchak. There's only one line to be drawn. Right. The problem is, there's a line between Yitzchak and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means that they're anyway going to be yours, and you're going to have to bear them with me, because I gave myself over to you. And therefore I identify myself completely with you. So of course they're yours as well. So Yitzchak's argument is this argument that Klal Yisrael is completely belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at least through the channel of Yitzchak, they're completely belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is completely belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is completely given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're going to destroy them? This is really the thing. And you know, the Maral cites in this as well, that, you know, the famous Chazal, where Chazal say that, we say, it says in the Chumash, V'zacharti es b'risi Avram, V'zacharti es b'risi Yaakov, V'af es b'risi Yitzchak, V'af es b'risi Avram Esker. I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, also my covenant with Yitzchak, also my covenant with Avram, I will remember. So the Gemara asks, Mipnei ma, why does it say, I will remember by Yaakov, and I will remember by Avram? But by Yitzchak, it doesn't say, I will remember. The verb, I mean, normally you would say, I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, and with Yitzchak, and with Avram. Right? That would be a fine form, where you just say the verb once. Or you could say, I'll remember my covenant with Yaakov, and I will remember it with Yitzchak, and I'll remember it with Avram. To say, I'll remember it with Yaakov, and also with Yitzchak, and I'll remember it with Avram. To say the verb by the first one and the third one, not by the second one, like what gives? So the Gemara says, Zechira is not necessary by Yitzchak. Memory is not necessary by Yitzchak. You know, is memory is necessary? Right? There are guys who used to come to the shir, right? Who come, other weeks they come to the shir. I remember them. You, I don't remember. The term memory is not appropriate for me when I speak about you. You're right here, right? Memory is something which is off on its own, someplace else, but I remember the association, says the Gemara. By Yitzchak, there's no need for memory. Because Afrei shel Yitzchak Savru munach lefanav. Yitzchak's ashes, so to speak, are sitting in front of Hashem. What does that mean? There are no ashes of Yitzchak. But when Yitzchak gave himself over to Hashem, that means, by the Akedah, the so-called ashes of Yitzchak, meant that he said, I'm nothing other than you. Right? It's not that I promise that I'll give you this, or I'll give you that, like you had by Avram, or by Yaakov. His whole being he gave over to Hashem. Which means that he doesn't have, quote-unquote, a life separate from Hashem. And if he doesn't have a life separate from Hashem, then Hashem doesn't have to remember him. He's not off in Timbuktu, oh, I remember him. This is it. His life is being in the presence of Hashem. So Yitzchak becomes, therefore, this model of this intense connection that Klal Yisrael has. This Mesiras Nefesh connection, which Klal Yisrael would be able to have and be able to give. And that's manifest in all of, in much of Yitzchak's argument. That's what the Maral brings as Exhibit A of the strength of the completeness of the connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as manifest through Yitzchak. Now, in the spirit of what I said, this is a very hard Gemara, so let's now just deal with a couple of the other aspects which are challenging. You know, the Maral starts by asking a question, and he says, why is it only Yitzchak? Why is it not Avram and Yaakov that are melamed zchus on Yisrael? That's quite, you know, what's pshat? Why not? And furthermore, he asks, what's this expression? Oh, forget the young ones, Yaakov, forget the old ones. You know, they're the ones that won't work. He says, you know, you're dealing here by the time of the Churban HaBayis. So how old would Avraham Avinu be at this point in time?
600.
No, more than that. You know, but let's, you know, it's about 1300 years from the time of the birth of Yitzchak, let's say, until the time of the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. There's 1290 years. Right? So that means that Yitzchak would be 1290 years old. Avram would be 1390 years old, and Yaakov would be 1230 years old. Okay, so who exactly are the young ones and who exactly are the old ones? What kind of an expression is this, says the Maharal. So he brings one pshat from others, but he says that the thing is like this, and this is the other dimension of it, which he deals with, is that when it comes to the three avos, that's what we're talking about, the first one, the last one, Yitzchak is the middle one, and therefore he says to some degree Yitzchak is going to be the strength. He makes a comparison to the Levium, that they're not eligible for Avodah really until they're 30, and they're not eligible anymore for their Avodah after 50. It's Mamish and Avodah, which is specified for them in their prime. And the prime is, right? I mean, we use middle age, we speak of it as a negative connotation, but right there in the middle, right, where the person has already reached their high point and has not yet begun their decline. And to some degree, Yitzchak, being in the middle, says the Maharal, has this certain specific strength. He says the koyach, the strength of something, is be'emtza, is in the middle. It's an interesting characterization, and it's an unusual characterization. Why? Because, as we know, we've discussed this ourselves in the Shir many times, in the Maharal, usually, the third one is the middle one. In other words, the first one plots this point, the second one takes this point, and the third one is sort of the bridge that has the best of both worlds. Right? Yaakov was the combination of the chesed of Avram and the gvura of Yitzchak, and therefore Imamish had the strength, tiferes, the harmonization of them both. Here, he's working with it completely chronologically, and it was an age factor. Yitzchak was in the middle, and therefore he was this perfect strength, this perfect balance, which is different than usual. It's just different than usual. And you need to understand it. I don't understand it. I don't have such a good handle on why that's the case over here. So that's one issue. Now, I would tell you another explanation of it, which is also here sort of in this Maharal, which to me is much more manageable and understandable. And it's also here again in the Maharal. When he speaks about it as a matter of the middle one being the strength, I have a hard time with it in that sense. Maybe together with what I'm about to tell you, this is what it means and this is what it makes sense. Yitzchak is Midas Hadin, is judgment. Judgment, by definition, is squarely in the middle. A person is disqualified for judgment if they are biased to either side. Ukshiu bali Hadin aimdim lefanecha. When the litigants are standing in front of you, they should both be in front of you like Rishoyim. And when they leave, they should both be in front of you like tzaddikim. So I think the Maharal himself explains on that mission over there in the first parak of Pirkei Avos that the idea is because the judge has to always be positioned squarely between the people. You can't judge for someone who you love. You can't judge for someone who you hate, because then you are tilted. You are biased. And the Elohim has to be squarely between the two of them. So in a sense, Yitzchak comes in the middle, right, between Avram and Yaakov, right, because he's din, so he's be'emtza, and the judgment is always going to have to be this sort of be'emtza, this ultimate fairness, you know, in between, without a bias in any kind of direction. So that would be something of an explanation of it, that in that sense it's going to be midas hadin. And the Maharal goes on to say, and you see how Yitzchak goes, and he uses this approach of din. Well, let's figure out. Let's look at it closely. How much is it anyway? You know, let's look. Is it how much of their life would be perhaps, you know, preoccupied with sin, and so on and so forth. However, But the problem is, to me, that which really makes me very, very difficult to understand, is that Yitzchak's ultimate defense and ultimate response is the opposite of din. Hashem is coming to him and he's saying, din, right? Your children sinned. You have to face me in din. And what's Yitzchak saying? Forget din. They're your children. Now, some people say before Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, they say the passages of the Zayar. There are passages of the Zayar which are printed in Machzayrim, in classical Machzayrim. I don't know if it's printed in the art school, whatever it is, but where you have certain passages from the Zayar, a passage from the Zayar, which is read before Tkiyah Shofar. What's the content of the passage of the Zayar? It's really an elaboration on something which the Gemara says in one sentence, which is a drasha on that Lamnatzeach, that Kapitel Tillim that we say seven times before we blow the shofar. What is it? Allah Elohim Bisrua Hashem Bekol Shofar. There's a pasuk. Elohim ascended with the trua, Hashem with the sound of the shofar. So it switches from the name Elohim, which is the name of Din, to the name of Hashem, which is the name of Rachman. So Chazal say that the sound of the shofar makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu move from the Kisei Din, from the chair of the throne of judgment, to the seat of Rachman. What's the idea? Because what happened was, right, HaKadosh Baruch was sitting there as the Melech, as the king, as Malkenu, and everybody's approaching the bench for their judgment, as one would approach the bench for judgment, right? With the strange, with the distance, right? That big, big mahogany, thing in front of him. I hear, well, let's judge you, you know, with objectivity. Then what does Klal Yisrael do? They pull out their ace in the hole, and they sound the shofar. And when they sound the shofar, they remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedas Yitzchak. And Akedas Yitzchak means Yitzchak gave himself over completely and totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means what? We're children. You're biased. So we don't say you're biased, let's get another judge. We say, Rabbeinu Shalom, come off the bench. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets off the bench, and he comes around and he sits at the defendant's table. And from that perspective, he deals with Klal Yisrael. He goes off of the Kisei Din onto the Kisei Rachman. So really, Yitzchak, who is Din, is the precipitator of Rachman, of saying, you're disqualified from Din, which is the consummate irony. That the Av, who is the Av of Din, is the Av who gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove himself from Din. So, this is part, I mean, ultimately we see that that's Yitzchak's defense in the Gemara. Forget Din, they're your children, carry the sin, tolerate it, and so on and so forth. In there, there's this discussion about, okay, 30 years, to 30, you know, and so on and so forth, which I have a heart. I don't have a hezber, you know, to my complete satisfaction. I'll tell you an approach, but I don't. It doesn't. Honestly, it doesn't completely satisfy me. I'll tell you the approach, but again, it doesn't necessarily address this fundamental irony of the Din and Rachman. But then we'll say that, and then we'll go. I mean, I'll be happy to take your questions or your comments. Yitzchak is an Ayla. An Ayla means that every part of him, as we've said, is given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every part of him is given over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if that's the case, you can understand to some degree why Yitzchak would say, okay, let's look at the whole picture. In other words, you would never be able to do this. You know, you go into a court of law, they call you into the court of law, and they say, you know, excuse me, but we understand that you embezzled $5 million. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. Somebody gets called into court of law, okay, you accuse them of embezzling $5 million. The person will say, judge, come on. You know, I worked for this company for 10 years. Right? One day I figured out how to embezzle the $5 million, and in one day, basically it took me an hour, I embezzled the $5 million. I worked for them for 10 years wonderfully, and you're going to punish me for the 1 hour that I went and I embezzled? Come on. Doesn't make any sense. Better yet, I was with the company for 10 years. For 5 of the years, I was on sick leave. For the remaining 5 years that I wasn't on sick leave, the fellow says, you know, half the time I spent at the coffee maker. Right? Half the time I was was commuting time between clients. So what was left anyway? I mean, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. Okay, shkoyach. So let's see. You have your waking hours during the time that you're responsible. That's what I'm interested in looking at. I don't want to hear about anything else. And there, excuse me, my friend, but you blew it. That was your chance. If you're looking at the whole picture, if you're looking at the whole life, wake time, sleep time, everything else, it's because, look, I'm yours. Even when I'm eating, even when I'm sleeping, I'm yours. Even when I'm, you know, yet young, I'm yours. To be able to look at that whole picture, it takes a yitzchak. If you're an outsider and you're giving something to Hashem, then let's look at the contract. Let's look at the time that you were actually serving. But because Yitzchak is completely given over to Hashem, so therefore somehow everything goes into the picture. And there you could start talking fractions. I think it makes it a little bit more understandable what Yitzchak is doing. Why Yitzchak would specifically have this line of argument, not just because Yitzchak is Midas Hadin, but because Yitzchak is given over. But I still have a hard time reconciling this whole Midas Hadin thing with it. I'm very happy with what the Maral wants to bring out from this Gemara for our purposes. Because the Maral's ultimate point is to look at this Gemara. What it's saying is, we have no independence. We gave ourselves over completely to Hashem. So our survival is because we're His. You know, come on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're your children. Take care of them. Complete and total dependence. That's what the Maral really is citing this Gemara for. It's just the details of the Gemara that and what he includes here in the explanation that are a little bit difficult for me to understand. Okay. Any questions or comments before we go on to the next proof text? Yes.
I think most people have a fairly at least cursory understanding of Midas HaMishpat, Midas HaDin, I'm equating them. But maybe that is the linchpin. How do you want to define it in clear and lucid terms, Midas HaMishpat? Is it always doing the right thing? It's different than Midas HaEmes.
No, it's not, it doesn't have to do with doing the right thing. Normally, the way I would understand Midas HaMishpat is the very opposite of what Yitzchak is doing, which is Midas HaMishpat means it exists if it deserves to exist.
Okay.
Midas HaDin says, you've got to deserve it. Got to deserve it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with Midas HaDin, Bereishis Bara Elokim. But then he saw that the world wouldn't be able to last, so he put in Midas HaRachamim. Right? Adam Rishon sinned, forget it, throw the whole thing away. It won't last. People said it won't last. Midas HaDin says, it's got to deserve it. Midas HaDin says, if you went through the red light, you get a ticket. Right? So you're going to say, but what are you talking about? I was so distracted. I just heard about my great aunt's turtle or something like that. You know, I feel so bad for you. Take this warning. That's not Midas HaDin. Midas HaDin is what's supposed to happen happens. There are rules and there are no exceptions. There's no being able to somehow get to the source and try to change it, you know, fudge it, something like that. That doesn't happen. Midas HaDin is straight, the way it's supposed to be. Now, I will tell you that the problem that I'm expressing to you here is not a problem unique to this. It's a problem that goes beyond. We discussed it before, and there have been ideas which have been floated before. But Yitzchak is also tefillah. Right? He's also tefillah. Now, tefillah is called rachamim. Rachameh. It's not quite Midas HaDin. But on the other hand, so the way we sort of get to it is that, first of all, tefillah is from the Lashon Pala. I think that was the printed Friday Night Question this week, wasn't it? I think that was the printed Friday Night Question bulletin this week, if I remember correctly. But the tefillah is from Lashon Pala, Plilim, which is Din. Yeah. But tefillah is Avoda. Avoda is subordination, subservience. A person submits completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and you say, Hashem, I'm dependent on you, right? A person's not supposed to daven and say, I deserve this. That's the worst kind of tefillah. That's called iyun tefillah. It's cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to really look at everything. A person's supposed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, just give it, and I'm asking you, please take care of me. That's, you know, so that's Yitzchak without din. You know, it's like the opposite of din. It's din and anti-din. So that's, you know, that's all part of this difficulty.
You wouldn't need Bachamid if you didn't have the din.
Right.
Why do they have to be either or, zero sum? Isn't there, like, can't you have like a paradigm shift where the, because Yitzchak does whatever he does, or he is Yitzchak, you can look at it from both points of view. So we're applying a different rule set. It's, you know, I could say that's Rachamim, but it's just the Jews have different rules because we have a different relationship. So, I mean, that you look at it as Rachamim, but it's different rules for us. And therefore, it still sits into somewhat of a din structure, but we would look at it from the outside as Rachamim.
It's possible to say such a thing, but I think Chazal express it as a rachamim. They say Hashem gets off of the kisei din and comes to kisei rachamim. So since it looks like rachamim and it smells like rachamim and it tastes like rachamim and they call it rachamim, so I tend to think that it's not a new system of din. There is such a possibility, but I don't think that they call it that, and it doesn't. You know, at first glance, it doesn't look like that. Okay, so let's just go to the other Chazal. And this is a famous Chazal that I think is known to many. The Gemara says in Brachas, why doesn't it say Nun in Ashrei? In other words, you have an alphabetic Ashrei, Aleph through Tov, Arei Mimcha, Elei Kaya Melech, Vavaruch HaShimcha, all the way to Tilas Hashem Yadaber Pi, except for Nun. There's no Nun, says the Gemara, because Yesh Veim Apolosan Shel Seineim Shel Yisrael, because Nun alludes to the downfall of, euphemistically said, the enemies of the Jewish people. As it says, Naflav leisaisif kum besulas Yisrael. It will fall and not be able to arise again, the besulas Yisrael, the young one of Israel. And then the Gemara brings in Eretz Yisrael, they say, Naflav leisaisif, it fell but won't continue to. Kum besulas Yisrael, arise besulas Yisrael, the positive way. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, so David HaMelech in Tehillim, in Ashrei, he didn't put in the Nun, but he did incorporate the Nun. Why? Because what's the next letter? Samach. What does it say by Samach? Samach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. Hashem supports those who would otherwise fall. So that's the incorporation. We don't want to say it in the negative. We say it already in the corrective. In the Samach Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. So what's the idea? Says Maral, this idea is telling you again that Klal Yisrael cannot stand by itself. Klal Yisrael is completely and totally given over and completely and totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Nafla. They would fall. If not for Seimech Hashem, if not for Hashem doing it. There's a beautiful word from the B'nai Yisaskar, by the way. Beautiful. He says the word Nes is Nun Samach. Why? Because that's a miracle. Miracle is that the person is at risk. They're falling. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes with the miracle to save them, to pick them up, to salvage them. So it's Nun Samach. It goes from Nefila to Smicha, Nes. Beautiful, beautiful word. So he says, so they have no Metzias, they have nothing by themselves. But, okay, very good. So again, so that's the illustration. That's the illustration of this principle that the Maral is coming to explain in this parak. However, the question is, says Maral, Nun stands for Nefila? Now, maybe Nun stands for, I don't know, Nes. Maybe Nun stands for, anybody can think of other words? I'm blanking on words that start with Nun, right? But,
Nagila.
Well, that's Nun there is just a, whatever it's called, a prefix.
Nigun.
Right? Nigun. I don't know. Lots of things, right? Right, there are lots of words to start with Nun, right?
Noah,
right? Very good. Okay, whatever it is. So why over here? Why do we bring the pasuk? Why do we have to bring Nafla, the Nun, as the falling letter? Why is that assumed to be the case? Again, there it's not so simple. That's part of the root. Okay. So the Maharal says the following brilliant thing. Brilliant thing. It says like this. If you look at the letters of the Aleph Beis, or for that matter, the numbers of any number system, the fives are stuck. There's a word for this in mathematics, I just don't remember it right now. But if you take one, so it has a shidduch, 9. If you take 2, it has a shidduch, 8. If you take 3, it has a shidduch, 7. If you take 4, it has a shidduch, 6. And together they compose the complete unit of 10. But 5, it's left by there itself in the middle. And the nun is also nebuch. It's left by itself in the middle. Right? Yud has tzadi. And chaf has pei. And lamid has ayin. And mem has samach. Nun is sitting by itself. It's alone. And what does the pasuk say in Kehelet? Taivim hashnayim in ha'echad. Two is better than one. Because if the one falls, right, ki mipol echad, right? So the other one will be able to warm the other, and one will be able to support the other. The nun, so to speak, stands alone. He springs, mamish ga'inus. Hein am levadad yishkain. Hein am levadad yishkain. Behold, they are the nation that dwells alone. Hein is hey and nun. Those are the two letters of isolation. And the Gemara says that in Greek, hein is one. Right? That which stands by itself. I mean, the Gemara says it is un, right? Right? So it's one. Unity, right? It's from that is related to the term hein. One. The Hein Yiras Hashem Yichachma. It's the only Chachma. Achas Yiras Hashem Yichachma. Right? The only Chachma is Yiras Hashem. The Gemara makes such a drasha. Hein, he brings the Mesil Shem brings it. Right? So Hein Am Levadad Yishkain. Right? They're the nation that dwells alone, and the isolation he says is in the Hey and the Nun. Okay, so I know what's on your mind. So you're saying, so why not Hey? Skip the Hey. Don't skip the Nun. So the Maharal adds another piece where he says that Nun is the letter that's smack in the middle of the Aleph Beis. Why? Because if you take the Aleph Beis and you say Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud Kaf Lamed Mem Nun Samach Ayin Pei Tzadi Kuf Rei Shin Tav, final Kaf, final Mem, final Nun, final Pei, final Tzadi, which is the tradition.
27, right?
That's the tradition. Mm-hmm. So you have 27 letters, right? So you have that. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200, 300, 400, that's tough. And then in this cheshbon, which is found in the world of that, is that final chaf is 500, final mem is 600, final nun is 700, final pei is 800, and final tzadi is 900. Now we have exactly 27 letters in the Aleph Beis going through the three, sort of tiers of the decimal system. So if you do that, and you make that cheshbon, so Aleph Beis Gimel, right? Yud is the 10th letter, Chaf is the 11th letter, Lamed is the 12th letter, Mem is the 13th letter, Nun is the 14th letter. So again, it's smack in the middle. And the middle is the lonely point. Right? It's not, right? It doesn't have, right? This one has its side, this one has its side, this one is sort of, okay, where does it go? You know, the odd man out, right? It's by itself. That's the consummate illustration of Hein Am Levadad Yishkain. So the loneliness of Klal Yisrael would be expressed in the Nun. However, we have good news. And the good news is that Klal Yisrael really isn't lonely. Amongst the nations, it's alone. Amongst the letters, it's alone, so to speak. But Klal Yisrael has Semech Hashem L'Cholanei from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who comes and says, I'll be your Zivuk. You know, you're familiar with this from the famous Chazal that says, every day had its mate. Sunday had Monday and Tuesday had Wednesday and Thursday had Friday. Shabbos, the odd man out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make Klal Yisrael your ben zug. Klal Yisrael will be your mate. Right? So Klal Yisrael is the mate of Shabbos. There is this idea. The odd one, the association which is created between the two of them, right? That's going to be the association. So that shows you. Klal Yisrael by itself is just one, and one teeters. It doesn't have balance. It's not able to stand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our other half. That's what's being illustrated over here. Samech Hashem l'chol ha'niflim. That's what's illustrated over here in this chazal, in this choice of this difference. That's the basic idea which he says here, but he adds something here which is also very, very important that I would want to add and to mention. The Gemara says if a person says Tila LeDavid three times every day, Ashrei, so he's a Ben Olam Haba, he's a member of the world to come. Says the Gemara, why? Why? You're going to tell me it's because it has in it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports everything? So why don't you say Halal HaGadol, where it says Naisein Lechem L'chol Basar, Hashem gives food to every being, every flesh. Kilalom Chazdei. Oh, says Gemara, so maybe it's because it has the Aleph base. So say Kuf Yotes three times every day. It has eight times the Aleph base. You can only imagine, right? Right, saying Kuf Yotes three times every day. It has eight times the Aleph base, even better. Says the Gemara, it's because it has both. It has the Aleph base, and it has this idea of the sustenance of people. So what's the idea? What's the idea that this combination does it? The beautiful word from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says that it says you're not supposed to say Halal every day. Right? A person says Halal every day is mechari from Agavik. It's as if they're blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because Halal, you're talking about the exceptional. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing these exceptional things. And that means for the daily routine, you're not going to praise Hashem. Right? Tila David three times every day, it's because of the Seder, the order of the world. You're recognizing Hashem, that He's supporting you. Whatever you have from Him in the order of the world. So Aleph Beis represents the order of the world, not the exceptional. So therefore, this combination of the order of the world and that Hashem sustains, as opposed to Halal HaGadol, which is much more, sometimes elaborate in terms of the miraculous, that's the kunst, that's the trick. However, the Maral says as follows. It says, "Kasher haShevach hu ba'alfa beisa." When the Shevach is with the Aleph Beis, "Magi achaim and achaim aposhet habilti gashmi." Then we're talking about this life that Hashem sustains, is the simple life, the non-physical life, because the Eiluchav Beis Oisias Yesh from Habshitus Hagamor. Chav Beis Oisias, the 22 letters are the building blocks. So they're the most basic. U'bishvil kach magi arachius haposhet habilti gashmi. That's why it reaches the point of sustenance, of that which is not so physical. And that's what brings a person to Olam Haba, says the Maral. Because here we're talking about a different kind of chius, a different kind of sustenance. And he proves it by such a simple thing, beautiful, beautiful thing. He says, look at this. Hashem opens His hands and He sustains every living thing's ratzayin. In Halal HaGadol, what does it say? It says Naisein Lechem L'chol Basar. It couldn't be more clear. Gives bread to all flesh. Right? The human being is made of flesh. He needs to eat in order to be sustained. Hashem gives food to all flesh. Talking very, very physically. You open your hands and you satisfy every person's wish. So of course, we read this every day, we think of Parnasa. So we say, my wish is, right, for first cut brisket. Right? My wish is for chveis, whatever it is I need for my sustenance. Hashem opens his hand, he supports everything that I want. But it's so much more vaguely stated. And ratzon is much more of a spiritual kind of a term. The Gemara says, nafshechem is a term for ratzonchem. Your soul, your whole being, what you want. So this is much more of a transcendent. It's much more of a transcendent dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem is going to sustain us. That's why when we say this three times every day, that's why when we say it repeatedly, constantly, it's a Ben Olam Haba. Because we're dealing with our core desires, not just our material desires of Lechem Lechol Basar, not just our material desires of the here and now. I think it's a very chashuv insight of the Maral, just it's not so connected to everything we're talking about right now, but it's part of what he uses over here to explain this picture. So this is the theme again of this parak, with which we will conclude that David HaMelech, that the notion of Netzach Yisrael, which Klal Yisrael has, the connection of Klal Yisrael which we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is complete. One which was made of complete dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what keeps us going. Right? Yitzchak's argument is what keeps us going. We are Hashem's children. We are completely given over. We are completely dedicated to Hashem Yisbarach. And as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, stuck with this taking care of us. And we stand by ourselves. We have nothing other than the reliance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is not a sideline for us. Hashem is the Iker, our main basis, our main support. And so we have this deep, deep connection, which make us at times feel vulnerable, but of course it is therefore our greatest strength, because we understand and we act accordingly with Mesiras Nefesh, we're completely, completely His, so therefore we're zeicha to stand on His shoulders. They're not dependent the same way. They have their own lives. They don't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They haven't given themselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Hashem could wipe them out in a second. Yitzchak's arguments are not, we're dependent on Hashem because you could destroy us. When Kol Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma, Hashem said, B'ni b'chayri Yisrael. Because we established the connection. We recognized the connection. We accepted the dependence. Na'aseh v'nishma is Mesiras Nefesh. Why doesn't he deal with them with Midas Adin? He does deal with them with Midas Adin. He doesn't necessarily deal with them with Midas Adin immediately. He's Marech Aflo Rishoyim. That's one of the Gvurais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he doesn't necessarily do it right away. But he deals with them with Midas Adin. It's a big Shaila. Whether there's tshuva for the guy. L'chaira, the story of Nineveh, is the proof that there's tshuva for the guy. But it remains a much discussed and debated subject how tshuva works by the guy.
By the way, you see there is no midas adin there. If it's a midas adin, there's not tshuva. Tshuva is midas
adin. I understand what's your question. If he was intended to destroy them, that would have to be midas adin.
He gives him a chance to really rack up the points and knock him out good.
Well, that
the question
matter.
Is whether tshuva is a complete contradiction to midas hadin. The opportunity for a person to do tshuva is a waiver of din. But once a person does tshuva, it's not so simple that it's a complete waiver of midas hadin. You're dealing with a complicated sugya. I mean, this is a big debate in the Rishayim about tshuvas umas ha'elam. And it's a fair question and a very significant question, but it's not a footnote. It's a discussion itself, and honestly, I'm not even prepared to have the full discussion. It's a big sugya.
I was thinking about your difficulties with Yitzchak. Thinking of possible mahalas. First of all, the one time that they're not my kids, they're your kids. I mean, that's a simple paternity suit. I mean, that's not necessarily Midas HaRachum. I'm not saying, that could be a very, very well a din argument.
Mm-hmm.
But the second, the second problem is, so your analogy with the company, the guy comes in the court, the company, yeah, but whatever, the 60 years that I put into the company for the first of the 1 hour. But it seems like that with a person, there's a learning spectrum that he's not necessarily judged based upon, you know, okay, so it ends up that he has 10 years or whatever. The fact of the matter is that a person has given a lifespan. Amongst that lifespan, he's given a certain, that lifespan is because that's the amount of time that he needs to develop, to grow. And therefore, you know, when you look to judge him, I mean, yes, it did. You also look at the fact that this is what you set as the hook in the world, that a person has a particular amount of time. When you take away that period amount of time, he's not subject to the same.
I can understand. I can understand very well. Forget about the first 20 years. I can understand very, very well. But to start saying that, you know, look, I lived 50 other years after that. But so much of the time I was sleeping, and so much of the time I was eating, and so much of the time I had to go to the bathroom. I mean, so therefore, what I did wrong was a small fraction of my life. And what about what you did right? You know, I mean, that's where I lose it. That there's a developmental process, and only at a certain stage can you say, okay, this is the person. Let's look at what he did in this phase. If Yitzhak stopped at don't punish them for what they did the first 20 years of their lives, I would be fine. But to start looking at the whole life as the circle of judgment, and then knocking and saying, oh, well, he was okay when he slept, he was good when he sleeps, you know, like that, and so on. That's where I'm not sure if you're addressing that.
It's a logical medication. Let's look at, you know, there's a window over here. This is not Midas HaRachamim, this is Midas HaDin. You want to judge them? But don't judge them. Look at how much time that they had. They really didn't have that much time.
But what did they do with the time that they had?
From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, it's not a linear.
Yeah, no, no.
Now they were 20 years old, etc. It's looking at the time in totality.
So are you making it that they, quote-unquote, lived all this time but only sinned for a small part of the time? Or are you looking at it, well, bottom line is, how much life do you have anyway?
Why is that relevant?
And if it's how much life you have anyway, I don't understand why that should be a mitigating factor. So those moments that you have should be that much more treasured, that much more handled well. And if the person sinned during those moments, which is what Yitzhak is saying, how much could they have sinned already? All they had in discretionary time was 6.5 years.
So it's worse. 1 hour of 6.5
right,
years is worse than 1 out of 50.
But it ignores the act, which is very problematic. I mean, take the Nazis in Auschwitz.
You could argue,
I lived 70 years, 5 years, I killed 6 million Jews.
Right, where do we get to make such an argument, to be mevatelet bereif?
Because in order for a person to know, not to commit that they have to experience a certain life process, that's why we're given a certain amount of time to develop.
They should know that by the time they're 20, otherwise it would be put
that. And that's where the time comes in there. The time is a mitigating factor because, if I were to say, you have all this time to. That's why the first 20 years you're not judged. You just give it 20 years.
I understand that, but in the end, you need to have some positive to outweigh the negative. What the positive, which is using to make the negative into a minority, is sleep time, eating time. You know, that's like really.
Because if Hashem says, look, I've given you 70 years.
Huh?
I gave you 70 years to develop your sample and to be able to make the use appropriately.